Good morning, Broadway family and friends. I wanted to take a moment to just offer a prayer for those who are sick and shut in at this time and that I haven't spoken to. May God continue to bless you, heal you, and bring you back to a place of healing that you're satisfied with. And may the Lord continue to look after you and provide for you those things that you need to bring about your full recovery. May the doctors that are assigned to you be the doctors that are able to help you to bring you back to full measure of health. In Jesus' name, amen. The other thing, as usual, please pay particular attention to the doctors who are advising on this coronavirus, because it is extremely, extremely important that we follow the doctor's orders so that we can stem the epidemic as much as possible, so that we can all be brought back to a measure of health and return to our daily lives, our congregations, our families, and our friends. And of course, we miss all of you, and hopefully we can get back together as soon as possible. Now, today's lesson is going to deal with anxiety as we live through these turbulent and uncertain times. We all have a measure of anxiety. It's just part of human nature to have that degree of anxiety or worry or feeling at unease because we're so disrupted in our lives and the dangers are about us continuously. And as you watch the news and listen to the radio, the news on the radio, it can become very terrifying. But we want to look at it from a Christian perspective also, because we know that God is still in charge, even though the situation may appear to be out of control. It is never out of God's complete control. God is still in charge. And what we want to do is to remain as faithful as possible and use those people that God has assigned to in certain positions to guide us through this epidemic. Well, everyone is familiar with this anxiety. Currently, it's a problem of major proportions as we contend with the coronavirus, as we contend with political and personal unease, and the epidemic of uncertainty leading to fear and apprehension, because this is a period of uncertainty. Yet, as prevalent as it is, anxiety or worry is one of the most counterproductive things we can do. Someone once said that worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Anxiety represents a fast getaway on a wooden horse, someone else said. You will not get very far, nor leave the place you started from. The question then becomes, how should the Christian approach the problem of worry or anxiety? And what can a Christian do about it? Perhaps the first thing one should do as a Christian is to get a clear understanding of the problem itself. Exactly what is anxiety? What is worry? Anxiety is distress from future uncertainties. Let me repeat that. Anxiety is no more than distress about future uncertainties. It's characterized by mental agitation and uneasiness. It may be mild or it may be severe. It may be a point where it's manageable or it sometimes apprehension and anxiety can get out of control. It primarily has to do with what may happen in the future, either the near future or the distant future. We still become anxious about what may happen in the future. Now, what causes anxiety? It's caused by a real or imagined threat to our well-being. Let me repeat that. Anxiety is caused by a real or an imagined threat to our well-being. As far as anxiety is concerned, whether the threat is real or imagined, it still has the same destructive powers over us. We feel vulnerable and inadvertently, inadequately protected against these threats, threats such as social rejection, physical injury or disease, poverty, death, and a wide range of other threats to our well-being brings about a condition of anxiety. Now, anxiety has three major elements, and I want to get this so that we're better able to deal with anxiety, because most of us are anxious at some point in our lives. The first main element of anxiety is insecurity, the belief that something bad is going to happen. It's a form of insecurity. Then there's helplessness, that something's going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. And third, there's isolation. There's no one that can help you with whatever this situation is, brings about anxiety. These causes may operate individually or in various combinations. Emotionally, they cause just as much anxiety if they were imagined or if they were real. The amount of anxiety we feel from imagined threats are as valid to us and detrimental to our health, mental and social health, as the real events. Anxiety is a form of fear also, and must be recognized as such when that is the case. With an understanding of this problem, we're closer to overcoming the problem itself. And that's the lesson for today. How do we handle anxiety in anxious times? Number one, the first thing we want to do in overcoming the problem is trusting God. The best remedy is to deal with the problem's causes, not just its symptoms. What is the truth about insecurity, if you're feeling insecure? What is the truth about helplessness, if you feel helpless? What is the truth about isolation with regard to the Christian? While the Christian may feel insecure, the reality is that he or she is very secure. As a Christian, you are secure. Proverbs 3, 21 through 26 says, "Do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be a light for you, an ornament to grace your neck." Proverbs 23, 24 says, "Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." Verses 25 and 26 says, "Have no fear of sudden disaster, or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord your God will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared in the traps of the evil one." Hebrews 4 and 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need." We go to the Lord, we approach the Lord's throne of grace and present the situation to the Lord. While a Christian may feel helpless, the reality is that he or she has great help. Romans 8 and 31 reads, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let me repeat that. If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that when you're disillusioned. Think about that when those times of disappointment and you're fearful or feel that you are all alone, drowning in a sea of despair. If God is for you, who can be against you? While the Christian may feel isolated, the reality is that God is always at his or her side. Matthew 28 and 20 says that, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The remedy for anxiety is complete trust and confidence in God's ability to deal with anything that threatens you, anything that threatens a believer in Jesus Christ. Remember, Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The more we learn about God, the more we know his infinite power and his concern for us. So let's delve right into more of God's written word to give us that degree of confidence when we're facing unstable times. Doesn't mean that we have to become unstable people. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. The scripture says that he may lift you up in due time. God decides when there's due time. We don't. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The avenue of prayer is always open to the Christian to request God's help. 1 John 5:14. God has promised peace of mind to those who are willing to commit their anxieties to him. Turn them over to the Lord. Again, he has promised peace of mind when you turn, you willingly commit those anxieties you feel over to him. Philippians 4:5-8 reads, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When you're gentle in spirit, gentle in how you interact, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God, an ever-present companion, an ever-present helper. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about the beauty that God has created. Think about God and his creations. Think about the goodness of God. Think about whatever is true that you know of God. Think about those things and guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, here are some practical steps we can take in guarding our hearts and dispelling the whole notion of anxiety or fear for the Christian. That in and of itself is anomaly. Fear and a Christian are just not compatible, because when we have God, we have God and we're children of God and he has promised, made promises to us, our faith should make us free. Does it mean we won't be harmed? No. But the impact of whatever harm befalls us is different for a Christian than it is for a non-believer. So let's remain strong in our faith regardless to situations that may come about. Again, these are some practical steps we can all take in dealing with anxiety. First of all, commit to reading your Bible. The answers you seek is in Scripture. Committing ourselves to God's safekeeping requires that we grow in our knowledge of God and our knowledge for him and our love for him. Therefore, the most important and productive thing we can do is study the Scriptures, pray, and meditate on God's promises to his faithful people. Remaining faithful will allow you to have that personal conversation with the Lord. Be realistic. Peace of mind does not depend on solving all the problems, righting all the wrongs, removing all the imperfections, or getting all you want. Ecclesiastes 8:16-17. Some things will not change, and we need to be realistic enough to accept that. Although things may not change in a certain situation for you, God is still in charge and may have something better for you. There are problems that have no solutions. There are situations that may simply be lived through. Sometimes we just have to go through situations as opposed to trying to go around it or over it. The art of being wise is the art of knowing what to overlook, William James said. Realistic knowledge of our own limitations ought to cause us to relax and slow down. Again, I will repeat that. Realistic knowledge, knowing our own limitations, should cause us to relax and slow down. Believe it or not, we can't do everything. There are many things beyond our capacity. And when we realize that, frustration begins and anxiety begins to subside. Besides the noble art of getting things done and the noble art of leaving things undone, the wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. Non-essentials should not cause us grief. Thinking in terms of what is essential, what is important, and prioritizing the important things in life, your important contributions to your society, your family, your friends, your church. Those are the important things. Frivolous things should not cloud us, should not cause us to ignore the important things. We must learn to let go of some problems and allow the Lord to be in charge of them. 1 Peter 5:7. Learning to let go of some things. You know, sometimes we are in the habit of thinking we can do all things. We can solve all our own problems. Well, there are some problems we as mere mortals cannot solve. I know that's not a news flash to everyone, but a couple of people, it may be. There are some things we cannot solve. Wisdom says that when you come into a situation you can't resolve, turn it over to the Lord and leave it with Him and be satisfied with His results. We need to be flexible. Change is inevitable. We have got to be resilient, adaptable, and adjustable. Philippians 4:11-12 says the change is inevitable. Nothing remains the same. Everything will change. Under stress, if we can't bend, we will surely break. Again, under stress, if we can't bend on some things, the notion of my way or the highway will not work. If we cannot bend, we will surely break. Our faith must be in Him who changes not. Faith in the Lord Himself, who's unchangeable. There are some changes we ought to resist without compromise. Wisdom can tell us when to change and when to hold our ground. It's prioritizing those things that are important. Those things are vital to your life. Physical life, spiritual life, family life, those things are important. Other things are fanciful, but in most instances, not important at all. We should focus on good cares. Minimize the unnecessary ones. Good cares are those things that we care about that has value. Value beyond anything monetarily, value beyond anything to hoard. Value beyond those things that are collectible for our own pride. In the Bible, cares can be either good or bad. We tend to become distracted by many relatively unimportant cares and don't care enough about the things we really should care about. When the mind is distracted by many pursuits, it receives only little benefit from any of them. If our mind is divided and we're following many pursuits, we cannot dedicate ourselves to those that are most important. Order in our lives becomes that much more important. those things that are most important, our faith, our family, our friends, our community. Those things are important. Really, only one thing is necessary. Reverent obedience to the Word of God should be uppermost in our priority list. Reverent obedience to the Word of God. Learn to live one day at a time is another area. Learning to live one day at a time. Proper use of today diminishes anxiety about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Proper use of today diminishes anxiety about tomorrow. Spend your time wisely and productively in the moment, today, as opposed to thinking about what may or may not happen tomorrow and become anxiety-ridden. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its worries and sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. Worry is the interest paid on trouble before it comes due. It's a lot like a loan that you take, and before you receive the loan, you pay the interest. The same thing with worry about tomorrow while confronted with today. Many, if not most, of our fears will turn out to be unfounded. Winston Churchill said that on his deathbed, that he had a lot of trouble in his life, but most of which never happened. Think about that. Winston Churchill said that on his deathbed, that he had a lot of trouble in his life, but most of it never happened. We can spend a great deal of our valuable time and limited time worrying about things that will never take place. One of the things we want to also do is to stay busy. There's an old adage that says, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Stay busy. Stay busy doing good. Stay busy taking care of others. Stay busy being involved with other people, with God's people. Anxiety and idleness often go hand in hand. Despair is a form of laziness. When we become dispirited and despair, that's a form of laziness because there's always something to do for someone. Blessed is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night, someone once said. Again, blessed is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime, doing good, taking care of others, and too sleepy to worry at night. The sleep is a result of the exhaustion from doing the Lord's work during the day. Much good can be accomplished even in adverse circumstances if we will quit concentrating on what cannot be done and do what can be done. We spend a great deal of our time thinking about what can't be done and why it can't be done when there are many, many other things that can be done and we are capable of doing it, but because we're spending our time worrying over what can't be done, the things we can do are never done. Another point, don't waste time in doubts and fears. Spend yourself and your time in the work before you, well assured that the right performance of this hour's duties will be the best preparation for the hours or ages that follow. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Thomas Carlyle says that our great business in life is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. Do the things that are in front of you, the things that you can approach and see as productive, as opposed to daydreaming about what you would like to do, but can't. There's no tranquilizer as effective as the knowledge that we have done our best, and there's no pillow as soft as a good conscience. Again, there's no tranquilizer or any other sleep inducement as effective as the knowledge that we have done our best during the course of the day. And there's no pillow as soft as a good conscience. We're to learn contentment, a lesson Paul had learned in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, and let's share that for a moment. Paul says in Philippians 4, 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We need to be able to rejoice in the Lord, which we can. We can do if we continually count our blessings, Philippians 4 and 6. The Christian ought to be able to see the silver lining in the darkest cloud. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8 tells us that the discontented Christian may lose his or her soul because of discontentment. Again, the discontented, not contented Christian may lose his or her soul because of discontentment or not being content. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Anxiety often comes from having too much rather than having too little. Ecclesiastes 5 and 12. Anxiety often comes from having too much rather than having too little. Our wealth depends not so much on what we have as what we can do without. Think about that for a moment. Our wealth depends not so much on what we have as what we can do without, because there's freedom in being free doing without. When a problem produces anxiety within us, the very best thing we can do is to bathe the problem in two things. First, reverence. Second, gratitude. Reverence for the Lord, thankfulness to the Lord. Counting your blessings. As we conclude now, the Christian is given the means to deal with anxiety. Concentrate on the peace that comes through prayer. And let's look at a prayer that is befitting this particular topic. That's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Reassuring confidence can come from trusting in God. Psalms 23, and we will conclude our lesson for today. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A note to take from this lesson. Whenever the feelings of insecurity or helplessness, isolation produce anxiety within you, focus on putting your trust in God. Not in yourself, not in any person, but put your trust in God. Read your Bible. Be realistic. Be flexible. Focusing on things that you feel good about. God loves you because you are you. And with that in mind, know that you deserve to feel good because God loves you and He loves all of His children. You deserve to feel good about yourself. Work toward minimizing unnecessary cares. Clear your plate. Take some of the things off the plate. No one person can do everything. If one person could do everything, there would be less need for people. Learn to live one day at a time. Stay busy on positive activities. And learn to practice contentment. Find something that gives you a feeling of contentment, where you are at peace with yourself, at peace with your God. And when you're at that place, you become even more productive and creative because you're working in partnership with the partner that will be with you forever and always, God Himself. As I close now, let me offer this comment. We love you, and conditions permitting, God willing, we will physically be together soon. As always, should you need to talk about this lesson or anything, any other issues that you may be confronted with, do not hesitate to give me a call. As we conclude, may God continue to protect you, to guide you, and be the source of your confidence and the source of your joy. Your joy and your confidence. May God be the well from which you drink. In Jesus' name, amen.